Ramsey TV.
I've been talking about this magnificent thing called being complete in Him, in Christ. And the most difficult thing for people to do is to accept that. I'm going to tell you today that if we owe the Lord anything, we owe Him this one thing. And I'm going to tell you what that is today. This is Martin Zender at night in my car in the alley in Fort Lauderdale from the edge of the bottom of the Floridan Peninsula. I keep saying that because it's also allegorical. We're all on the edge, on the bottom of the edge. We're on the bottom of the societal ladder. We're on the edge of change. We're also constantly on the edge of disaster. We're on the edge of death. We're at the edge of our wits. We're at the bottom of the of pretty much everything. Paul called himself the offscouring of all things. Offscouring, that is just the leftover scum. You know, that's kind of how the world looks at us. The world is throwing one big party constantly, and it's kind of disgusting to see. It's hard to bear with sometimes. But remember, these are days like the days of Noah. Our Lord said, when they were eating and drinking, marrying, giving in marriage, and until the day the flood came. And it's very appropriate, of course, for our Lord to compare these days with the days of Noah, because for one, the oblivion of the populace to the things of God, and secondly, because destruction will come in one day. What the world doesn't realize is that they're the ones on the edge. They're the ones at the bottom. We are primed for glory. We are well positioned. We are well placed. And now I'm going to tell you, if you owe God anything, if you owe Christ anything, it's this. This is also in Colossians chapter 2, but I started reading right after this passage. I started reading in verse 8. Beware that no one shall be despoiling you through philosophy, empty seduction, in accord with human tradition. But before that, Paul says something very important that I didn't get to, and it touches on my topic tonight, which is, speaking of the evangel, being built up in Him, being confirmed in the faith, as according as you were taught, superabounding in it with thanksgiving. Superabounding in it with thanksgiving. There's a parallel passage, many parallel passages, but the one I chose, you'll see thanksgiving in Paul's letters more than any other letter. Paul's letters are suffused with it because if we're complete in Christ, then thanksgiving is all we have left. Paul says in verse 15 of 2 Corinthians chapter 4, for all is because of you that the grace increasing through the majority, that is the majority of you, grace is increasing through the majority of you, that is most of you, should be superabounding in thanksgiving to the glory of God. God doesn't need money. God doesn't need works. God doesn't need applause. God doesn't need repaid. God doesn't need money? Did I say that? God doesn't need anything. How could He possibly? He's the supplier of all things. I told you that the one thing He loves is belief, loves to be believed. But in light of this truth that we're complete in Him, He loves thanksgiving. And I gave you the analogy of the mountaintop, of being placed on the top of the mountain and being given the righteousness of God on day one, being made complete in Christ on day one before we've done anything. And this is going to sound very simplistic and very juvenile, what I'm about to say, but this is what I suggest you spend your time doing. And it's this: telling God, thanks, this is great. And that's the name of this show. Quote, thanks, this is great. Unquote. Here it is again. Quote, thanks, period. This is great, period. Unquote. This hit me the other day. This sounds simplistic, but I need to say it again, because I've been looking at these things for 40 years, and it hit me like a flash all over again that this is missed because of how simple it is. Because how dare we enjoy this, right? How dare we tell anyone to, while you're in the midst of sinning, or in the example I gave on Friday, the guy sitting on the couch guzzling the Jack Daniels, how dare he not feel guilty? How dare he not kick himself and accept with wringing his hands, accept the grace of God, accept being made complete in Christ? Don't we at least owe God to at least show a pretense of being miserable, of show a pretense of, oh, I don't deserve this? Shouldn't we at least grovel a little bit and say, why did you pick me? I don't deserve this. I'm a rotten sinner. It seems like that would be the appropriate reaction. But when somebody says, let's say the guy on the couch drinking the Jack Daniels, if he's told while he's in mid-guzzle, you are justified in Christ, you have been given the righteousness of God, you have been transferred from Adam to Christ, we would want him to feel a little bit bad, wouldn't we, about what he's done, what he is doing? But what if he said, wow, thank you, this is great? I think we'd be tempted to look at him and say, how could you just say thank you? I mean, how could you just say, I'm justified? Oh, this is great. This is great. Thank you. Don't you feel a twinge of something? Don't you feel a twinge of, like, oh no, are you kidding me? Like when somebody offers to pay the bill at the restaurant. Oh no, no, I can't have you doing that. No, no, it's too much, right? And you go on, and after 5 minutes you finally say, well, okay. You begrudgingly allow the person to be gracious to you. What if when you offer to pay the bill for someone, they say, oh, thank you, this is great. This meal is great. I love it that I don't have to pay. I'm thankful that you're paying. Thanks. Thanks is given. Thanks is given. And then the grace is immediately enjoyed without an ounce of hand-wringing. Oh, it's too good for me. Oh, I can't believe this. Yes, people say, I can't believe this. When something good happens to them, I can't believe this. You think God likes to hear that? You tell this guy drinking Jack Daniels that he's justified and complete in Christ. Oh, I can't believe that. I can't believe this. And he starts lamenting almost, like, what? I mean, I can understand being broken by the graciousness of it. I can understand crying. I totally get that. I can understand weeping, but tears of joy, not tears of why me, not tears of, oh, I'll never repay you, not tears of, why are you doing this? You don't have to do this. No, but tears of, oh my God, basically tears that accompany thanks this is great. I enjoy being able to be gracious to people. Let's put it that way. And I remember back in the day when I had a wife and kids, we used to like to give people money. And I remember one time we would save money in a jar. We'd throw money in there and until there was a need that would come up in our family or so friends we had, and then we would try to, you know, surreptitiously give the money to somebody. But I remember, forget it. It sounds like I'm boasting about this, but one time we were putting money in the jar and we hadn't counted it in a while. We counted it and it was actually more money in the jar than we were worth, than we had in the bank. And we gave it away. And it was great. And they say what goes around comes around. And it's absolutely true. Well, I had a friend. I still have a friend. He's still my friend. His family was going through a rough patch. I mean, it's not like we had a lot of money, you see. It's not like we had a lot of money. But it's the fact that we threw a little bit here, a little bit there, put it in the jar. And I can't help it that it ended up. I can't help it that it ended up being more than I was worth. Can't help it. No, it's just the way it happened. But I had this friend, and his family was in need one Christmas. I think he got fired or something from his job. And I tried to give the guy, it wasn't a huge gift. Maybe I tried to give the guy $100, right? And he wouldn't have it. No, he refused it. I can't take that. And don't you hate that? When you have something in your heart that you want to do, and it's a great joy for you to be gracious. And in this instance, I wanted to give it to him face to face. Most of the time, back in the day, it was sneaky, right? Slipping it in somebody's glove box, something like that. Fun stuff. But I wanted to help this guy to his face. There wasn't any other circumstance, and he wouldn't take it. Really pissed me off. What a proud, arrogant bastard, honestly. What an arrogant bastard. But he thought he was being nice. Thought he was being, he thought he was being noble. Thought he was being righteous. Thought he was being pure or something. Thought he was holding himself to a higher standard. No, I can't accept that. When it's not like a government handout. This was coming from the heart of a friend. And looking back on that day, I wish I had a lighter with me. And because the next time I do this, I'm going to have a lighter with me. The next time I offer someone money like this to their face, if they refuse it, I'm going to set fire to the money. It's going to be great. I love it. Oh, don't do that. The money's burning up. Don't do that. Wow, this is God's money. What do you mean? God wanted to give it to you, but since you can't simply say thank you, this is great. This is great. Hey, I gave you this money so you can pay your electric bill today. Thank you, that's great. Because otherwise I couldn't pay my electric bill. Thanks, that's great. God never hears that. Never. I don't think even any of us started that way. We've learned that God wants to hear that. But I don't know if any one of us has ever started that way, including myself. This revelation, even though it seems so simple and almost juvenile, almost not worthy to even make a video about, I think it's one of the most amazing revelations there is. To say to God, thanks, that's great. Well, I don't have to pay for my sins. Whew! And you know, that message will never go across in the religious world because, well, I know this for a fact because people have told me, well, I tell people not to worry about their sin. And see how that message goes over with any of your religious friends. Don't worry about your sin. Stop worrying about your sin. Why are you worried about your sin? You know, how can you possibly say that, Martin Zender? Well, in Philippians 4:6, Paul says, don't worry about anything. Don't worry about anything, he says. Look it up. Philippians 4:6. Don't worry about anything. Thanks, that's great. That's what I say now to that. Don't worry about anything. Instead of wringing the hands, how can we not worry? How can we want to please you. Honestly, we're going to try harder. We're going to do this. We're going to do that. Paul says, don't worry about anything. Who among us can say, thanks, that's great? That would include sin, right? Well, is sin anything? Yeah, okay, then yes, of course it includes sin. What are you, stupid? I'm not talking to you, but I'm talking to myself, to anybody who would refuse that and say, oh, no, you, far be it from me. Kind of like Peter when Jesus said, you know, next week I'm going to be crucified, just so you know. Oh, no, Lord, we won't let that happen to you. His crucifixion was the greatest gift that he was going to give to humanity. Oh, no. I guess it would have been kind of awkward to say, oh, thanks, that's great. But if anybody had said thanks, that's terrible. Can you imagine that? Next week I want to be crucified. Thanks, that's great. But compare that to, far be it that this should happen to you, Lord. And Jesus said to Peter with that response, get behind me, Satan. Get behind me, Satan. Because Peter was opposing a pure work of God. He was opposing God's approach present to humanity, which is Jesus Christ, through the death of Christ. So as crazy as it sounds to say to that statement next week, I'm paraphrasing our Lord. He spoke much more eloquently and mysteriously. Next week I want to be crucified. Ah, thanks, that's great. That response would not have earned get behind me, Satan. No, it wouldn't have. Jesus could not have said, get behind me, Satan, to someone who had responded, thanks, that's great, to Jesus saying, I am to be crucified next week. So, and why couldn't that woman in Evansville, Indiana, remember when I said that she had been chosen beforehand for the place of a son in Christ? No, thanks, that's great. Thanks for telling me that. That's great. Wow. God chose me for this. No. Couldn't say that. Could not say it. And this was a good person who was probably in the body of Christ. I don't know for sure. Why me? Why me? The hand-wringing starts, the almost regret, the almost like, this is impossible. How can this be? What an insult to the giver. I would think that God and Christ would feel the way I felt when my friend refused the $100 bill. Instead of saying, oh, thanks, that's great. Kiss me on the neck or something, you know. Pat me on the back. Thanks, that's great. If you want to shed a tear, I would love it. Shed a tear. Thank me twice. Thank me three times. Thank me four times. And then say how great it is, how wonderful you feel that you are now able to pay your electric bill. I can pay my electric bill now. Thank you, Martin Zender. No, not this guy. I can't take that. Well, you son of a bitch. I'm going to light it on fire then. I'm going to light it on fire because, and that's basically what happens to the salvation of Christ. It's lit on fire. It should be lit on fire by God and Christ, but they don't because they're not that petty. They're not like me. That would satisfy me, but not them. Instead, they go through with it anyway. They bear the insult, and it is a terrible insult. They bear the face slap because it's a terrible face slap to say, no, can't be free. No, not free. No, you can't do this to us. We have to. We still haven't felt sorry enough. We still haven't tried to make it up to you enough. We still haven't groveled enough at how unworthy we are. We still haven't said it enough times. Why me? Why me? Why me? We have to grovel. We have to sweat. We have to climb up the mountain and look back to make sure you're looking at us so that, you know, you can feel better about having chosen us beforehand. How much better would it be simply to say, thanks, that's great. Thanks, that's great. Peter walks on the water. Oh, thanks, this is great. Healed from leprosy. Thanks, this is great. Thanks, this is great. Salvation, free and clear. Thanks, that's great. That's the word of the day. Actually, it's the three words of the day. I've told you before, to me, the foremost spiritual words are, oh, I get it. When someone comes to a realization of the truth, and I will stick with that, that these are the foremost spiritual words I've ever heard. But the second most spiritual words I ever heard, it's one less than four. And it's three, and it goes like this. Thanks. That's great.